morning to you all. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here in the assembly, and thank you, Clyde, for sharing those stories with us. It's just not all of us can go, but it can help us feel a little connected when we can hear a little bit about it when those who do come back. So thank you for that. Blessed being here this morning. Thank you for the devotion, Ken, on giving, and enjoy the Sunday school discussion as well on how we can worship God wherever we are, because the fact is we're all different, but we're all created in God's image. And for some of us, it feels like worship because we sing two songs, have devotions, we know exactly what's coming next. But that doesn't necessarily define what God thinks is worship, and I'm thankful for that this morning. When we surrender our hearts to God, He can be glorified. For our text this morning, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I was thinking about the conflict in the Middle East this week a little bit, and I didn't know Clyde was going to share when I started working on this sermon, but the destruction and the conflict that two countries can inflict on each other can be very devastating. And I'm just taken aback by how the kingdoms of this world operate. And I thought of these verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Start reading in verse 3. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So in the world right now, there's a lot of flexing of the muscles. Look what we can do. Look what we can accomplish. Look what we can take out. Look what we can destroy. We can do even more if we want to. And you almost cringe when you hear people talking like that. Look what we're able to accomplish as God looks on the scene. But that's what countries do. They display strength by domination or skill or stealth. It's not a new thing. It's the way the nations of the earth operate. It's how they maintain their borders. It's how they remain sovereign. And thank you, Logan. And if we're not careful, we can even feel a sense of national pride or the display of national strength. And we can begin to trust in these things, possibly. And this morning, I'd like to just realign our thinking on where true might is, where true strength is, and the conflict that we are called to. Because the kingdom of heaven that we're a part of operates on completely different principles than the kingdoms of this earth. Paul points it out here in verse 3. He says, even though we walk in the flesh, we live in this flesh, that's not where our battle is. That's not where our spiritual strength lies. That's not where our strength lies. Yes, we have battles in this flesh, but the weapons that we use to combat these are not physical. They're spiritual. And the phrase that stood out to me in this passage as I studied over it is mighty through God, from verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I'd like to use that for a title for our thoughts here this morning. Mighty through God. And just for some context, before we start looking at these verses a little bit closer, remember Paul's writing this letter to the church at Corinth. He had written a letter to straighten some things out that were wanting. He had some commendation for them as well. But it seemed like there were some people in the Corinthian church that just didn't accept what Paul had to say, specifically when he was there in person. I don't know what his limitations were. I don't know if it was a speaking impediment that he had. For whatever reason, they did not view him as a spiritual authority in their life. And he was just reminding them of the the structure of the church and the authority that God had given to him to lead the church there. And he was calling them out for this. Paul, he always has an interesting way of writing and a way of expressing his thoughts. But he was reminding them that this body of flesh, that's not where the power is. There's a power and a spiritual conflict that is beyond what we can see and feel and touch. And Clyde touched on that here this morning with the stories from Pakistan. There's a spiritual conflict that every person enters into who says, I don't want to serve myself anymore. I want Christ to become my king. That is stepping across a line and entering a conflict that we're unable to fight on our own. We need this power through God, this might through God, if we're going to prevail. I think it's a reality that I need to be reminded of, because I can get sidetracked and possibly even enamored with the armies and the kingdoms of this world. And armies spend a lot of time and energy and resources practicing for something that may happen. They invest a lot into that. They want to be sharp and ready so that when conflict comes, they are ready to face it. And I was just challenged with that thought of my own life. How often do I prepare for conflict, spiritual conflict? Do I train for the spiritual conflict that I know that is coming my way? Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So soldiers, they have a single purpose in life. They give themselves to a cause. And they put everything in their lives on pause and on hold. And for this work, for this assignment, for this mission. They leave their homes, their families, their businesses, whatever it is. They leave that for this cause. It sounds much like the call of Jesus in Luke 14. He says, if any man come to me and hate, which means love less than, his father, mother, wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, and yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What are we willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ? Is there something that I want to hold back for myself? This morning we are privileged to be part of a much greater cause than any earthly nation here on this earth. Sometimes as Christians we can be mistaken as passive, but we must be exactly the opposite. We must resist. It's just our weapons are different. Again, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So I'd like to just look at two aspects here this morning, the weapons that we war with, and then the strongholds that we need to bring down. So to sort of divide the message into two parts this morning. You can turn to Acts chapter 12 for the first weapon I'd like to look at, and weapon of prayer. We go to this one often, but I was touched by this story as I read it again yesterday. Acts chapter 12. I think I'll take the time just to read the 12 verses. It's an incredible story of the weapons that we have are mighty through God. It says here, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and he raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out, followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I'd like to just notice the power of prayer in this story. Peter was in a stronghold, you could say. Four quadrants of soldiers, I believe that to be 16 soldiers, inside a big heavy gate. He's past the first ward, he's past the second ward. He has a chain on each arm, and there's also a big iron gate on the outside of the prison. And we can see that two times mentioned here, verse 5 and verse 12, that the church was gathered together praying for him. It was an impossible situation for Peter. James had already been killed, and Herod was ruthless. He was about to take his life, Peter's life as well. But the church gathered to pray for Peter. It says in verse 5 that prayer was made without ceasing. And I don't know why each phrase is recorded the way it is here, but I just think it emphasizes the prayer that the church was making for Peter. It says, without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I think each one of these phrases sort of adds weight to the prayer that was going up for Peter. And then verse 12, it says, where many were gathered together praying in the house. They were praying for Peter. The church took this situation seriously. I don't know if they knew just how hopeless Peter's situation really was, but they were serious about prayer for Peter. As I thought about our church life today, what strongholds do we as a church face today that we need to pull together and pray like this about? Pray without ceasing of the church unto God for what would be in that blank. I think there's things we could put in there. For this church, the need was Peter. What could we pray about that fervently? Do we have needs like that? I believe we do. I realize that here in the book of Acts, there was some special power, power given for the birth of the church, but we still have this weapon of prayer, and I know that I exercise it too little, and I need to grow in that. So the first weapon that I'd like to just think about here is the weapon of prayer, mighty through God, the weapon of prayer. Another one over in James chapter 5, we often go to this passage of scripture when we're having anointing service, but there's some verses here on prayer as well. James chapter 5, I want to read verse 16 through 18. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think we'll stop reading there. And I know these verses are in the context of someone having a physical issue, but I believe these verses specifically, 16 to 20, have a spiritual dimension as well. And sometimes there are spiritual strongholds in our lives that we're just not able to find victory in. And here in James 5, it says, confess your faults one to another. Or the word faults there means lapses. Sometimes we'll have a lapse in our insurance. We didn't pay the bill and there's a lapse. And we have lapses in our life. We go off the rails, we say. We make a mistake and we need to confess those things. And the weapon that I just want to think about here and how we can bring down strongholds is confession. Confession to each other. Confess our faults to each other. It's how we can find victory. It's how we can find power to overcome the sin that we face in our life. And of course, prayer is right along with, intertwined in this passage as well. But confession is a weapon that we can use to combat the spiritual conflicts that we face. Another weapon is the Word of God. Very common one we look at. Jesus used it to rebuke Satan. When Satan came to him, he quoted scripture back to him. And there's nothing that Satan can come back at us when we use the Word of God. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Such a powerful tool we have here to combat the spiritual darkness or the battles that we face. We can do it with the Word of God. We have it in our hands, we have it in our hearts, and we can use it to combat the wickedness that's around us. And I was reminded of this again on our trip to Bangladesh, the power of the Word of God. Steve and Kaylee and I were sitting at a table in a market with four or five Muslim men. I believe one was from Egypt, I think, and a few from Pakistan and one from Gaza. We're sitting there talking, and the one who had the best English, he began to ask questions, and then he started translating some questions that the other men had. And Steve was able to share truth from God's word with these people. And it's one of those situations you just look back on and you realize that only God can arrange something like that. And it's the power of God's word. Excuse me. The truth that goes out, and God knows where that truth will end up, like he says there in Isaiah. It's his truth. When we use it as a weapon, God can use the results and do as he will with it. Another weapon for combating the spiritual battles that we face, and that's praise. Acts chapter 16. Sometimes our minds can take us in some pretty dark places, but praise is a way we can combat this spiritual darkness. And Paul and Silas, they're in that prison cell. We'll just read a couple verses from that story. Acts chapter 16, verse 23 says, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received the charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And then at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Again, we have people in a stronghold. They're in the prison. Paul and Silas were there with their feet in the stocks. But as they prayed and sang praises to God, the prisoners heard them, God heard them, and there was a great earthquake sent, and the prison was opened, the foundations were shaken. It says, the doors came open, and the situation they were in was the jailer and his household were saved through this praise and prayer that these two men had at midnight in the darkness of the prison. The evil was driven back through praise. And in our situations as well, we can tend to get on negative thoughts, at least I can, and we can sort of wallow in them. But when we praise God for what he's doing in our lives, thank him for what he has done, it realigns our thinking, and we can get our mind back on good paths, and we can overcome that challenge in our life. Just one more from Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is another weapon that we can use to combat the spiritual darkness that we face in our lives. Hebrews 11 just stood out to me how it was written here. As I read it again, you have the heroes of faith listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. And you come down to the end, it's almost like Paul seems like he's running out of time here. He says, "And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." That's verse 32. It says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to the flight the armies of the aliens. Women received the dead raised to life again, and others tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, even of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, and they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheeps and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth." Just take note of the things that were overcome by faith. And ultimately, some of these were clearly not very desirable. Tortured. And there's a list of terrible things here that happened to people. But they were able to see beyond. They were able to prevail in ultimate victory. And being faithful unto the end, mighty through God, mighty through this faith that they had in what God was doing, even though the situation that they were in currently was not at all desirable. Their eye of faith took them beyond. And this morning, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we can also have faith that God can help us through the difficult thing that we're facing. Mighty through God, expressed through faith. In our text verse, we also noticed some strongholds, and I'd like to spend just a couple minutes looking at some strongholds that we can bring down with our mighty weapons. Paul, let's just go back to our text verse. We'll look at a number of those phrases there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And 5. Verse 5 says, "And casting down imaginations." And that word imaginations there means human reasoning. That's one of the things that Paul was pushing back here in the letter to the Corinthians. They were being persuaded by smooth words and worldly wisdom, and they were being pulled away from the simple truth of the gospel. Paul says, you need to fight back against that. It's easy for us to use human reasoning to try to figure out and navigate through life. But it's the simple truth of the gospel that changes us and brings us the peace and joy in our hearts. Another imagination we can have is, if I try harder on my own strength, I'll overcome it. And that's just another stronghold of human reasoning. That I can overcome my flesh if I just put a little bit more discipline and hard work in. Maybe it's a stronghold of anger. Maybe it's a stronghold of lust. Or maybe it's materialism that has a grip on us. And we can think that, well, if I just discipline myself a little bit more, if I try a little harder, I'll be able to overcome it. But verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. It's through those weapons that we looked at that we can overcome these strongholds in our life. The second part of verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Things that exalt themselves against God are strongholds that we need to bring down in our life. John 2:16, for all that is in the 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The God of this world runs counter to the God that we serve this morning. This lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride. Something has to be brought down in my life and in our lives if we're going to be fruitful in Christ's kingdom and be able to use the weapons that God has given to us. And then our thoughts. Bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. It's where many of our battles are lost or won, is right here in our thoughts. And we can go into a lot of dark places in our mind, like I said earlier. We can lose our way. But if we're able to use the prayer and praise and confession to realign our thinking, we can be overcomers, mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. I'd like to just close with a verse from Ephesians. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." We have a power that we can avail ourselves of. It's working in us, and we can bring down these strongholds that want to get a hold of our lives and take us down. We can be victorious through the power of Christ. Paul told Timothy, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." Let's leave that verse with you this morning. Let's pray.